You would turn to Revelation. Revelation 22. We're going to finish up this message, or the whole book of Revelation tonight, Lord willing. We're going to go through some stuff relatively quick, but I think we all can understand what it's saying. We're coming down to the very end of Revelation, of the whole Bible, of the Word of God here. So we're in verse 14, Revelation 22, verse 14. The Bible said, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." So we see, blessed are they that do His commandments. And this would be kind of a problem verse if we wouldn't have been going in 1 John a lot. And we see that a believer is going to do His commandments. There's going to be a change in a believer's life. And so, blessed are they that do His commandments is another way of saying of those that are saved, because those that are saved are going to do the works that He's before ordained for them that they should walk in. And so, blessed are they that do His commandments. Blessed are those that are saved in Jesus Christ by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And then, because of that, they have a faith that's not dead, but a faith that is shown in works. And so, they do His commandments. And they will have the right. Let's talk about all Christians. They may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So how many fruits are on the tree of life? 12, right? There's 12 different fruits, and they bear its fruit in all seasons. So we have the right to that, and we can enter in through the gates into the city. The gates are always open. Enter in. So it's saying just that we have the right to heaven, to eternal life with God forever. In verse 15, so if that's eternal life in verse 14, that's heaven. Then outside of that, if you don't have the right to the tree of life, you don't have the right to enter in the city, it's not even like they don't have a right to heaven. And that's what we're talking about in verse 15. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And again, we know how John writes, we know how the Bible talks about these things. It's not talking about one time, it's talking about a lifestyle of these things. We see, for outside are dogs. Not like literal dogs. Jesus used this a lot, didn't he? Remember the one woman, he said, you know, I came for the Jews. And the woman said, well, even the dogs get what's left from the master's table. But then if you go to Matthew 7, verse 6, we see even more the kind of dogs that this is talking about. Matthew 7, verse 6. Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn again and rend you." So these are people that are hostile to the Word of God, that you try to share the gospel and they're hateful, they're vengeful, they turn it on you, they use it against you whenever they can. They're not at all interested, they're not at all wanting to hear. And Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine." It's kind of what we see when Jesus said, if they won't receive you, just kick the dust off your shoes and go on to the next town. And so that's what we're looking at. These dogs are people that are just hostile to the Word of God, hostile to hearing the gospel. So we'll go back to Revelation 22. So these are the people that will not have part in the tree of life. They will not enter in through the gates of the city. They're going to be, their name's not written in the book of life. Dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers. Those are men that have dealings with prostitutes and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So people that make lies, but also people that love lies. And do people love lies nowadays? Yeah. People want to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, right? They want to hear, they're turned onto fables. So people love lies if it agrees with their lifestyle already, if it makes them feel better. So, I mean, this covers a lot of people. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So that we see who's in and who's out. Those that are in Christ are in. Those without Him are out. Verse 16. We come back to Jesus talking. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. So we know that Jesus is not the angel. Because a lot of the Jehovah's Witnesses people will try to say that, well, this angel is Jesus that's speaking this whole time. But this shows it's Jesus, and I sent my angel to testify into these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So Jesus is both the root of David I mean, God created Adam, who is the root of David, but he's also the offspring of David. And he's the bright and morning star. And the morning star, like what people call the morning star, is what? Does anybody know? The planet. What planet rises up in the morning? Venus. And it comes up before the sun. And so, to me, this can mean that too. I mean, the morning star, and the Bible uses stars and these kind of things sometimes, but it rises just before the sun. I mean, I think it's a picture of the rapture. Because in Revelation chapter 2, to one of the churches, he said, I will give you the morning star, meaning that I will give you, I'll come to you before Jesus Christ comes and is seen by everybody. He's going to come to those who are looking for him. And so he is the morning star, Jesus Christ is. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, verse 17. So the Holy Spirit, the bride, the church say, come. Come to heaven. It's an invitation. And let him that heareth say, come. So we hear the Spirit, the Holy Spirit calling us. When we hear that, then we're supposed to say what? Come. Once we hear, then we invite others. We say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So we should be living a lifestyle of saying, come. We should not be keeping this and hiding under a bushel. Right? We should be going out and saying, come. Because without, these people that cannot come are going to be left in fire. They're going to be left out with the dogs and the sorcerers, the whoremongers. But the Spirit and the bride say, come. And when we hear, then we say, come. And whoever's athirst, come. And whosoever will. And we've seen that so many times. And now when I see whosoever, it shows just that God wants everybody. He's got one more time. The whole Bible, he's been spending time calling people to him. And here in the last few verses, again, he's laid it out. What's going on? And he said in verse 11, he that's unjust, let him be unjust still, saying that there's going to be people that he's given them up to their lust. He's given them up to their desires, but still he comes back one more time and invites them. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's free. If we're athirst, it's free. So one more invitation. Then we come to verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So we see, if you add to the book, God's going to add plagues to you. Now immediately it's talking about the book of Revelation, but God knows that this is the last few verses of his whole Bible, which the word Bible means book. And so if anybody can add to any words of God, God will add to them the plagues that are written in this book. This isn't the first time God's warned against this. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4. Adding to God's word is not something that God takes lightly. As a Christian, I would hope we couldn't even imagine if we were in charge of copying down scriptures or of adding our own words to scripture and then passing them on to somebody else as God's word. So I mean, it's a pretty serious offense, and it'd be a I can't see a Christian wanting to do that. And we see that here. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. So when he gave it to Moses, he said, don't add to it, don't take away from it. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. That's for us today. I mean, when we see a commandment that's in the Bible that tells us what to do, we don't need to add to it or take away from it. We do what the Bible says. Sola scriptura, right? That means the Bible alone, scripture alone. We don't add tradition to it, but we don't take away from it for sure. We don't add to it. We don't diminish from what the Word of God tells us. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Let's start in verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. So how many of the words are pure? Every. All of them. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. We're not to add to His words. Both if we were a scribe copying these down, I mean, these are warnings against people, and that's the way they copied them down by hand. The Jews did, the Old Testament. The church was entrusted in the New Testament to copy down scriptures. And that's how we get the scripture today, is people copied it over and over. But there was these warnings against adding to the scriptures. If you add to them, God would add the plagues that are written in the book of Revelation. Now let's go to verse 19. Revelation 22, verse 19. So we see the warning against adding to God's word. Now we come to verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So before we say if you add things to the word, you'll have plagues added to you. Here, if you take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So we come to this. If somebody takes away words from Scripture, takes away parts out of the Scripture, God, the Bible says God shall take His part out of the book of life. Now, I've struggled with this verse. Because the book of life, when we go through and study the book of life, we see that when we're saved, our names are written in the book of life. If you're not saved, your names are not written in the book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, they worship the Antichrist. In Revelation, what is it, 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this book of life is the book that if our names are in it, we're saved. And here it says that if we take away words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And that looks like they're doing what? Looks like they're losing their salvation. But we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed on the day of redemption. God's going to continue. No man can pluck us out of His hand. And so there's two ways of looking at this for sure. Is one, some people try to break it down and say, there's the book of life and there's the Lamb's book of life. And the Lamb's book of life is the one that's salvation. The book of life, everybody's written in here. And it's just talking about, you know, He'll blot you out if you then are going to die physically. I think the book of life and the Lamb's book, I think they're the same book of life. And so I think looking at this, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. It doesn't say his name out of the book of life. It doesn't say he will blot his name out of the book of life. In Revelation, is it 3 verse 5? We can go back there. Revelation 3 verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So there is the promise that he will not blot you out. I mean, we can take that and say, well, that means he can blot, but it doesn't say that. It says, I will not blot you out. It's an encouragement. Your name's not going to be blotted out. If you're in that book, you're going to be in that book because we don't overcome on our own strength. We overcome, you go back to 1 John 5, 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We must be born of God to be an overcomer. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We must have faith to be an overcomer. It's not about works. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. It's about belief and faith. So we are overcomers by faith. And so the overcomers that it's talking about in Revelation 3, verse 5, will not be blotted out, is what the Bible says. And it says, have your name blotted out. I mean, God has those words available if he wanted to say, name be blotted out. But in verse 19 of Revelation 22, he doesn't say his name will be, but he said, take their part out of the book of life. So I think this goes back to what a few Sundays ago we talked about, the sin unto death. Those that know what God expects, they know the gospel, they know what they should do, and they sin willingly. They sin on purpose. They sin defiantly against God. These are people that they know God's word and they willingly, defiantly, for purposes of, you know, for Satan's purposes, take things away from the word of God. They remove parts of the word of God so that souls will go to hell, so they're being instruments of Satan, and they're doing this willingly and purposefully. This is the sin unto death, and they no longer will have their part. If there was a place for their name to be written at some time, that part is taken out. They no longer can be saved, is what I'm saying. God has given them over. Like we talked about, the sin unto death. I did not say that you shall pray for that. This is one of those sins unto death, I believe. And this is the way I look at this verse. And I struggled with this. I'd love to talk to you afterwards if you got something that's different. But it says his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And so we have those two warnings of adding to God's word, taking away from God's word. God takes it very seriously. In the second part, it says you will not even be saved if you take away from his word. And this is one of the reasons that I believe that the word of God is this authorized version. We call it the King James, the authorized version, the King James version, because the other Bibles have taken away and taken away and taken away words and verses. And it's a very serious thing to do that. And even in this verse 19, even the New King James Bible will change it and say, God shall take away his part out of the tree of life. So they'll take away that warning that it's not about the book of life, it's just the tree of life and out of the holy city. And so it's like you're still going to heaven, but you're just not going to be able to take of this tree of life and out of the holy city. You're kind of standing out here. It's basically everybody's saved, except there's a special part of heaven that only some people can go to. And so they change it to the tree of life. And I do believe it's the book of life. And there's people that, before any of the manuscripts were written that we still have today, there was people that quoted this verse and said that they accused somebody else of taking away things out of the Bible and that God's going to take your part out of the book of life. They quoted this verse as a reprimand to somebody else. How could they quote the verse if it wasn't part of the Bible? And so I believe it's the book of life. It's a warning against taking away from God's word. And so we see those two warnings at the very end of the Bible. Then we come to verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And who said that? Jesus Christ. Surely I come quickly. And that's his own words. He's coming. I read somewhere that in the New Testament, in every 25 verses, there's a reference to Jesus Christ coming again, to his second coming. It's all over the New Testament. I mean, he is coming, and that's probably the main theme of the New Testament is he came, he died for us, but he's coming again. He says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so we're saying, John is saying, all Christians are saying, come, Lord Jesus. We're not scared that he would come back. We want him to come back. We cannot wait for him to come back. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. John, the apostle, writing to us, God saying to us as his last verse here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Last word of the Bible. Amen. So let it be. Let it be so. That's kind of neat to preach and teach to the very last verse of the Bible. You know, that's closure. And you can see that the way God set this up, there was not to be anything else added. There's no other books. It'll be a 67th book or a 68th book that we don't have the apostle of, you know, so-and-so, of Thomas or the Gospel of Thomas. There's no other books to be written. This is the final book. It's closed. The canon is closed. You can see with the wordings of this. The last thing, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it closes with such a wonderful promise. Lord, we look forward to your coming. And Lord, come quickly. If you come right now, Lord, we would be so blessed and so amazed and just cannot wait to be with you, Lord. And we get lulled to sleep in our day-to-day life and we forget about the promises that you have for us to come for us. And that if you come for some of us before others, if death comes to us and we can be absent with this body and present with you, Lord, we say again, come for us. And Lord, while we're here, let us do the work. Let us invite others and tell them to come and ask them to come. Invite them. Allow us not to be asleep in this life, but that we can be awake and do our work while it's yet day, while we're alive, before you do come, and then we cannot invite anybody else. This is the time that you've given us to invite people, Lord. Help us to do that. Help each one of us to know and to see opportunities in our lives, people that we can witness to. May we just grow closer to you and do your will. Not add to it, not take it away from it, but do exactly what you tell us to do, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.